Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At BP, we're putting words into action, making our strategy happen, growing our upstream rapidly and efficiently with seismic imaging tech. 6 discoveries in 2025, 2 in Egypt, 2 in Trinidad and Tobago, 1 each in the Gulf of America and Namibia, as part of plans to drill 40 wells globally by 2027, helping drive long-term shareholder value. Learn more at bp.com/strategy at work.
I'm giving you a 10-year head start in your PM career. This isn't just textbook theory. It's the advice I wish I could have given my younger self from day one. How many painful mistakes are you about to make? What if you could skip some of those completely? You mind if I share a short story with you? I was just made the project manager of our new accounting system upgrade. And the stakes were simple. If my project fell, well, hey, our company couldn't close its books at the end of the year. I know that sounds simple. It wasn't. During one of our meetings, our project sponsor asked, what's the data validation tolerance for our international accounts receivable? I need the exact percentage from the last test cycle. My mind went from 100 miles an hour to zero. It was like pure chaos that was going on in my mind. The only thought I could form was, don't look like you don't know. Just say a number. But that wave of hot panic was instantly followed by a much colder, more terrifying thought. The image of our company reporting the wrong earnings because I was too insecure to be honest. I can picture the phone call now. So I gave the wrong number and I apologize. See, listen, therefore I took a deep breath. It felt like it was actually my first one all day. And I said, that's a critical number we have to lock in. I don't have the final sign-off percentage from the test of the team with me right now. However, I will get it, verify it, and have it on your desk myself in the afternoon. The sponsor stared at me for what it felt like an eternity, then gave me a single crisp nod. Then spoke by saying, sounds good. Please let me know if you run into any issues. And that brief silence, well, which again, it just felt like hours. I learned that credibility isn't about having all the answers. It's about taking absolute ownership to find the right ones. And that's the foundation for everything we're about to discuss, starting with point number one. Point number one, get comfortable with, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately, but I will find out. As a new PM, you will feel pressure to have all the answers. You won't. Admitting you don't know something is not a sign of weakness. I repeat, admitting you don't know something is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of honesty. Most of all, it's a commitment to accuracy. Guessing or providing incorrect information erodes the trust and can lead to costly mistakes. Why is this important, family? Because you want to build credibility. Your team and stakeholders will trust you more if you know if you're a reliable source of information, even if it means waiting for the correct answer. Experiment with these actionable tips. Have a go-to phrase. What does that look like? Practice saying, hey, that's a great question. I don't have the information right now, but I will find out and get back to you by the end of the day or in the next hour or at the beginning of tomorrow, whatever that timeline looks like for you. Next one, follow through promptly. Once you've committed to find an answer, make it a priority. Use a to-do list to track these commitments. Next one, learn who knows what. This is my go-to. Quickly identify the subject matter expert on the team and in the organization. This will help you find answers more effectively. Point number two, define and document everything. You know the motto here. Documentation beats what? Documentation beats conversation. Listen, ambiguity is the enemy of successful projects. From the very beginning, work with your stakeholders to create a crystal clear documentation for what the project will deliver. You know your scope, who's responsible for what, roles and responsibilities, and how the team will work together. This is probably what we refer to as our processes. This is important because clear documentation prevents scope creep, it reduces confusion, and it provides a single source of truth when disagreements or you have questions that may arise. Experiment with these actionable tips. Create a racing chart for key tasks and deliverables. Map out who's responsible, who's accountable, consulted, and informed. This clarifies roles, and most of all, it clarifies expectation. Next one, write a clear scope statement. Define what's in, and most importantly, what is out of scope of the project. Get this signed off right away by your project sponsor. And the last and final one, establish a clear, or I should say, a communication plan. Document how and when you'll communicate with different stakeholder groups, whether that's weekly status report or bi-weekly team meetings. Hey, number three, build real relationships with your team's family. Your project team is more than just a list of resources. They are people with their own career goals, working styles, and most of all, they have lives of their own, so their personal life. So take the time to get to know them as an individual. Why is this important? People are more willing to go the extra mile for a PM they like, and most of all, that they respect. So strong relationships build a foundation of trust that is essential for navigating the stressful periods of a project. Experiment with these actionable tips. Have regular one-on-ones. Schedule a brief, regularly check-in with each of the team members. And use this time to talk more than just about the project status. Ask them how things are going, what they really enjoy, and what's the challenges they're facing. Next one, remember those details that we just talked about in the first one. See, by paying attention to the small things, did someone's kid just graduate, or did they just, you know, play in a soccer game or a football game, etc., and ask them how it went. This shows that you're listening and you care. And one of the things is eat together, or if you work virtual, have a virtual coffee. What this does is, if possible, this sets you up for success because, as the motto says, breaking bread together is simple but a powerful way to connect with your team. Point number four, learn how to run an effective meeting. Badly run meetings are a massive drain on time and morale. An effective PM knows how to run a meeting that has a clear purpose, stays on track, and produces a tangible outcome. Wiser support. You will spend the majority portion of your time in meetings, making them productive is one of the biggest levers you can have to improve your own efficiency and that of your team. Experiment with these actionable tips. Use a thing we call parking lot. If a discussion goes off topic, acknowledge it as an important point, but put it in a parking lot to address at another time. And this keeps the meeting on track. Always have an agenda with a goal. So send out an agenda 24 hours, 6 hours. It depends on your team. And the only way you're going to get to know your team is like we talked about those one-on-ones, because when you connect with your team, you'll have to understand, okay, I can't send this out 24 hours, or maybe no, I probably need to send this out 30 minutes. And sometimes I even send out meeting agendas 10 minutes in advance, because sometimes people do not read their email. So you want to set them up for success to know when we come to this meeting, we're going to get started on time. And these are the things we're going to talk about. A good example would be, we want to decide on which vendor to select. That is a goal. And the last and final one, assign a note taker and a timekeeper. You can't facilitate and take detailed notes at the same time. Now, we do have AI in place and we can record meetings, but in meetings you're unable to record, you want to have someone that can step in to assist you. If not, then you're going to have to be able to take notes. And if you have someone, rotate these roles among the attendees. Point number five, mentor and coach. A mentor and coach is important. And let me explain why this is important. They give you the shortcuts. They give you an opportunity to have the success. Now, I'm not taking anything away from you and saying that you wouldn't have success without a mentor and coach. They get you there faster. How do they get you there faster? Because a lot of things you're about to go through or you're going through, they've already done it and been there. And as they said, they got the t-shirt to prove it. So experiment with these actionable tips. Find a mentor or coach that you respect. How do I do that? Well, through YouTube, through podcasts, through books, through, if you find, even internal, if you see someone that's doing something really well and you really want to model what they're doing, you want to connect with them. Next one, you also want to do your homework before you reach out to a coach or mentor. What I mean by that is that you need to see if they're aligned with your best interests. Can you show me some type of social proof? Why do you think I come on here and I do a podcast or I do YouTube or I put out written content is because of the fact of is that I want to help those that are making the transition from a different career, or they're already existing project managers or new project managers, because I feel it's important that I can be that bridge for them to have success. So I already been there. I can tell them what they can expect or and how it's going to go from interviewing all the way up to actually leading a real life project. Point number six, understand the difference between authority and influence. See, as a PM, you often have a lot of responsibility, but you have little formal authority. You can't just tell people what to do. You have to rely on your influence, which comes from your expertise, your relationships, and most of all, your communication skills. Why is this important? Relying on authority is a little fragile way to lead. Influence is far more powerful and sustainable. People who are influenced to do something will do it more than someone that is not being influenced. So it looks like this. When they are influenced, they're willing to do more from a commitment and a creativity than people who are simply just told what to do. Experiment with these actual tips. Build your credibility. Be reliable. Be honest and demonstrate your competency. People are more likely to be influenced by someone they see as an expert. Next one, find a common ground. Understand their motivation, their goals, and the people you need to influence. Frame your requests in a way that aligns with their interests. And the last and final one, give before you ask. Be helpful to your colleagues. Offer your support and expertise. This builds a bank of goodwill that you can draw from when you need to ask for something. And I want to throw in an additional professional advice. Authority gets compliance. Influence gets commitment. And as a PM, you need commitment, not interest. Point number seven, create a system for to-do lists and meetings. See, as a PM, you're constantly juggling meetings, deadlines, follow-ups, and even your own tasks. If you don't have a robust system for managing your time and commitments, you will quickly become overwhelmed, and this is when things start falling through the cracks. Why is this important? A well-organized system frees you up from mental energy to focus on the main thing. What's the main thing? Solving problems. What's the main thing? Leading your team, rather than trying to remember what you were supposed to do. It's the foundation for personal productivity. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Time block your calendar. Schedule specific blocks of time for focused work, such as updating a project schedule, preparing a status report. Protect this time with everything you got if you can. Next one, end your day by planning the next. Before you log off, spend about 10 to 15 minutes reviewing your to-do list and the calendar for the next day. This allows you to hit the ground running in the morning. And the last and final one, the two-minute rule. If a task comes in that you can do in 2 minutes or less, just do it immediately so you can get it out the way. If it takes longer, put it into the system that we talked about you create. Point number eight, learn to say no or yes, pending the project impact. As a PM, you will be inundated with requests for new features, faster timelines, and changes to the plan. And if you don't make this adjustment and understand how to do it, it can derail your project. You need to learn how to politely decline requests that are out of scope or to explain the consequences of saying yes. See, this is important, family, because it protects your project scope, your budget, your timeline, and your quality. This sounds like we're talking about what? The triple constraints. Yes, indeed. So it always shows that you're a strategic thinker who is focused on delivering the agreed upon value, not just pleasing everyone in the moment. Experiment with these actionable tips. Use the yes and technique. Instead of saying a flat no, say, yes, we can add that feature. And to do so, we would need to either extend the timeline by 2 weeks or we would have to remove feature Y from the current scope. Which one would you prefer? Next one, refer back to the scope document. Use your agreed upon documentation, scope documentation, as a neutral third party. According to our assigned scope document, that's not included. We would need to initiate a formal change request to evaluate it. And the last and final one, offer alternatives. If a request is not feasible, try to offer an alternative solution that might still meet the stakeholder's underlying need. Here's an additional professional advice. Saying no is not you're not trying to be difficult. It's about being a responsible steward of the project and the resources you've been entrusted to. Well, family, if you stayed this long, I truly appreciate it. Here are my closing thoughts. We covered a lot today, from the tactical skills to the leadership mindset. But if you remember just one thing, let it be this. great project management is not about perfectly managing a plan. It is skillfully leading people through uncertainty. Remember the story in the beginning where my authority in the room wasn't born from just having an answer memorized. It was born from having the integrity to get the right answer. So here's my challenge to you. I challenge you, when you're in a situation that I was in, and just pick one, but I think this one be effective for you. When you don't know the answer, say, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately, but I will find out. Just let me know how that feels. I would love if you could reach back out to me, because what you're trying to do is build trust instead of tearing down trust. Your journey is not about just having all the answers. It's about becoming the person everyone trusts and they want to go to you. Now go, because you want to be able to lead with integrity. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. Until next time.